Well, good morning and welcome to our first Sunday service in August. I hope that as you watch this, you are well and the Lord continue to bless you in whatever circumstances you find yourself. It is my prayer that you will know God's presence, God's peace, God's love and forgiveness deeply within your heart. You and your family may know His protection and may you know His incredible grace that flows from the cross of Jesus Christ. This morning I want to introduce to you the second part of our series that I mentioned to you last week and the weeks before, where we explore how we're feeling during this lockdown time. Those are feelings of sometimes worry, anxiety, loneliness. And this morning we explore that with Mark in his message. Mark is a student pastor or assistant pastor at Stanley Road, and he will bring God's word to us, and we're looking forward to that. So within that context, I would like to read to you Psalm 84 this morning to introduce you to our service, to welcome you, and to set a scene for God's word and His Spirit to work in our lives this first Sunday in August. How lovely is your dwelling place, says Psalm 84. O Lord Almighty, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Isn't how we feel just now, almost 5 months within this lockdown, that we are desperate to come back to worship the Lord, to be together as fellowship. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever, ever praising you. Heavenly Father, we ask that your mercy will surround us this day as we worship together. We listen to some songs of worship. We hear to your word through Mark. We pray that you will bless Mark and your word to our hearts this morning. We ask that through your Holy Spirit, you will speak to every situation, to every heart that is listening today. May we know deeply, intimately, your love, your forgiveness, and your grace in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God is faithful, forever God. Hello. So, I've been asked to do a song this week, and so I got in touch with my friend Greg Leavers. In fact, no, he got in touch with me, and he mentioned that he has a few more verses to the bicycle song. So I listened to them, and they're very good, except some of the words don't work for us in these days. We can't really go on an aeroplane, can we, at the moment? And not many of us are allowed in the shops either. So we will sing it as we know it, and I will add these two more verses that Greg has told me about. I have changed a few of the words, so I hope Greg doesn't mind. You might be on your bicycle, you might be in a car, you might be flying in a plane and not know where you are. You might be in your bedroom, you might be in a shop. It doesn't matter where you are, it's all the same to God. God says, call to me, anytime, that'll be fine. Anywhere, I will hear, because I care. 1, 2, 3, 4, you. Okay, next verse, the words will be on. You might be feeling so stressed out, you might have joy again. You might be walking in the sun or dancing in the rain. You might be feeling really well, you might be full of fears. It doesn't matter when you play, he loves you and he hears. God says, call to me, anytime, that'll be fine. Anywhere, I will hear, because I care. 1, 2, 3, 4, you. You might be in the hospital, you might be having tea. You might be on a mountaintop or swimming in the sea. You might be wide awake at dawn or half asleep at night. It doesn't matter when you pray, God hears, so that's alright. God says, call to me, anytime, that'll be fine. Father God, I thank you that it doesn't matter how we feel and it doesn't matter where we are, that you are listening. So Father God, we cry to you for our loved ones, for our nation, and we thank you, Lord, for our families. And Lord, we pray for those who really need help from you right now. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've been asked to share with you some of the ways that God's been blessing me recently. And so I've written something to summarise different ways that God's blessed me. And this might remind you of a certain Christmas song. So, in the 19 weeks since lockdown, this is how God has blessed me. 19 books and more to read. 18 mostly hard-working classes. 17 form members engaging with challenges. 16 long canal walks. 15 ongoing WhatsApp conversations. 14 online Bible studies, 13 Zoom quizzes and game nights, 12 days entertaining and being entertained in school, 11 encouraging letters, 10 home deliveries, 9 post-service catch-ups, 8 lessons taught in real classrooms, 7 socially distanced visits, 6 books of worship songs, 5 new skills to learn, 4 games of battleships, 3 hilarious pen pals filming sessions, 2 podcast subscriptions, and 1 faithful saviour and friend.
Christ is able, still to save. Saving power today. Let's tell him thank you. How thank you. That's right, just tell him.
Good morning. My name's Mark. I'm one of the pastors at Stanley Road Baptist Church. It's my privilege this morning to bring you God's word and to seek what Jesus has to say to his churches. I want to ask you a question this morning, and it's a question that I hope you've been asked over the last 6 months by someone who genuinely wants to know the answer and is prepared to listen to the answer. My question is, how are you feeling? My guess is that over this period of time, that answer may contain some pretty extreme emotions. This has been the biggest period of stress that we as individuals and our region and our country and our globe has had to undergo for a very long time. And for people my age, it's certainly the greatest crisis we have experienced on this sort of scale. So there are emotions that go with that. You may have felt the loneliness of isolation, particularly if you've had to lock down alone and you've had simply your own company or electronic company for quite a long period of time. But even if you've locked down with family or even friends, there's still many people who you care about, who you want to be in the company of and even embrace that you haven't been able to. So we've all felt to some extent that loneliness of isolation. And there's got to be anxiety, right? Whether it's anxiety, particularly if you're vulnerable, of actually catching this virus and ending up being one of those hospital or even fatal statistics. That is going to make you anxious. And there's plenty to be anxious about the future. As a world that is arising that is going to be less safe, more dangerous, and certainly a lot less secure because of the disruption of COVID-19 and all the knock-on effects that's been having. Most likely you've experienced some sort of stress, particularly if you're a parent who's had to homeschool a child while at the same time doing your own job, perhaps even from home in more difficult circumstances. The stress on people, on some, has been absolutely incredible. And that may be you, where you've been pushed to the absolute limits of your ability, your endurance, and your emotional threshold. Or simply just fatigue. Whether it's the fatigue of having to absorb bad news all of the time and wonder where it's going to get to. Or it's the fatigue of your routine being disrupted and your life just having that sort of disruption that leads to a tiredness, which can sometimes be difficult to explain. Sometimes when we do less, we feel more tired. Now, all of that leads to strain in our relationships. And particularly if you've locked down with family or friends, you will have found, I'm sure, that those relationships, you've had to negotiate new boundaries and new ways of relating as you've been in the same house and the same company with people. Now, I'm not saying that there haven't been joys, there hasn't been humour, there haven't been ways to find of finding peace and joy and lightheartedness during this crisis. But I think the majority of us have experienced some of these negative feelings. And a lot of that has to do simply with the uncertainty and the instability of when the normal routine and patterns of our lives is disrupted, when the rug is pulled out from under us. And it's easy to start to lose a sense of yourself and your identity when you can't do the things that you would normally do. You can't relate to people in the way that you would normally relate to them, particularly if you're not particularly comfortable or enjoy or can make a real connection with a screen, with someone on a screen rather than in a person in front of you. During this difficult, stressful time, I think it's very likely that at some point your feelings have overwhelmed you. Whether that's been a slow build up to the point the walls are closing in, or it's a moment of panic, when your fear and anxiety get the better of you and get out of control. Now, as human beings, we tend to react to that in one of two ways. Either we shut down and close ourselves off and become almost crippled by our fear, anxiety, our sense of loss and isolation, and we shut down. Or we start to act out and we lash out in anger or frustration at those around us, or sometimes just a mixture of both. But we know those times can be really, really disruptive, and that may have led to a breaking point for you during this crisis. Proverbs 18 verse 14 just tells the truth to us, doesn't it? The human spirit can endure in times of illness or times of anything really, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? I want to read a passage from scripture now, which does deal with those sorts of extreme emotions where emotions get the better of you in a real storm. And this is a real stressful storm we're going through right now. And in a storm, it gets to the point where things are looking really bad. So let's read it. It's in Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. You're familiar with it all. Jesus calms the storm. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is a very familiar passage of scripture. I'm sure everyone listening to this knows that Jesus calmed a storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And it was an amazing moment. But I've actually read it because there's a part of the scripture that's always bothered me a little bit. And it's how Jesus responds to his disciples' fear. He says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They had something to be frightened of. It says here, the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Drowning for them in this moment isn't just a possibility, it's a certainty. The boat is about to be swamped, go to the bottom of the ocean, all of them will be left in the sea. There's no possibility of them swimming anywhere out of that situation. There's no one who's going to come and rescue them. They're going to drown. And they even did the right thing. They went to Jesus because they knew he would be able to do something about it. So they had some faith in going to Jesus. So why is Jesus rebuking them? Is he just some sort of emotional automaton who doesn't understand human emotions? Well, that's not true, because Jesus shows and expresses human emotions in lots of parts of the Gospels, and he responds in compassion to other people's emotions. So what's he trying to teach the disciples here? Well, there's another time when Jesus speaks to the disciples a little bit like this. He's talking to them about the corruption of the Pharisees, and he uses bread as an illustration. Well, yeast in actual fact. And the disciples think, well, he's just annoyed because we don't have any bread. Jesus is like, what? Don't you have ears but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? Understand what? Who he is. The fact that he could turn the very stones into bread. They have not remembered who is in the boat with them? Who is with them? And Jesus tells them off for not having that faith in him, who could have even allowed those boats to sink and every single person be drowned, and he still could have raised them up to life again. This is the Creator God, the All-Powerful. He was there at the beginning of creation. He's going to be there at the end of times. And Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So when you feel the walls closing in, or you feel his emotions overwhelming you, you need to remember who is in the boat with you. You need to remember that Jesus can protect you from COVID-19, that Jesus can provide for you and your family, that Jesus can bring peace on the world, and that Jesus can help you overcome your emotions of fear and loss and anxiety and loneliness, and give you joy in the midst of that, and give you peace. You must remember who is in the boat with you. Jesus can repair those broken relationships. Jesus can restore your joy. So in the midst of those overwhelming emotions, remember who you've got in the boat with you. So the disciples display a lack of faith in the power of Jesus, just what he's capable of. But I suspect there's a bit more to that, why he rebukes them so harshly. And I think it's because they've also lost faith in the person of Jesus. Because when they wake him up, they don't just wake him up and say, Jesus, will you help us? They say, teacher, don't you care if we drown? That's the thing which bothers the Lord Jesus Christ. And that actually might be for us the moment when we actually sin, when we do something wrong. Not when our emotions overwhelm us and get the better of us. Even perhaps not when we have lost faith in the power of God and what he might be able to do for us. But actually the moment when we think he doesn't care and he has forsaken us and abandoned us. Now this personal aspect of God, the fact that he loves us and he cares for us, is important to Jesus. And perhaps it's the most amazing thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the Father God, and about the Holy Spirit, is the fact that he actually cares for us. One of the passages which I think puts this beautifully is when Peter is writing his letter. And he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." So the correct person to direct our anxieties and our fears towards is the Lord Jesus Christ and to our God, as we cast all of those burdens onto him. Because I think when you do become overwhelmed during this crisis, one thing it shows you is that you're not able to carry your own burdens and the power of your own emotions. And our Father God and our Lord Jesus Christ is there to carry those emotions for us. In Philippians chapter 4 as well, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And this is why so often the images that are used about God are about him being a father or a mother, and the fact that he's caring for us like a father or a mother. We all know that the greatest betrayal a child can feel is when a parent doesn't care for them. And some of you who are parents will have been put through huge amounts of stress in caring for your children and loving them and sacrificing yourself for them, because that is the instinct and the care and the love of a parent. That's the kind of love that Jesus has for us, that our God has for us. And the disciples, in that moment of fear and calamity and stress and concern, have actually said to Jesus, "Don't you care?" Our Lord Jesus Christ always cares for the trials and the struggles that we are undergoing. And he listens to us in the midst of them. So let's remember who is in the boat with us as we go through these trials, as we feel those fears and those anxieties, that actually we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us. And his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who cared enough to die for us. And we have the Holy Spirit to speak for us in those moments when we pour out our cares onto the Lord Jesus Christ. So the antidote to those feelings of fear and anxiety and stress and worry that can overwhelm us and crush us and lead us to destructive acts like closing in on ourselves or acting out to others is faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, faith in the power that he has to do those things for us, but also faith in his person, that he actually cares for us. He's in the boat with us, and he cares what happens to us. But I think there's a third thing as well about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, was he able to just lie in a boat in the middle of a storm and just fall asleep, presumably having some awareness of what was going on, but just actually not reacting to it, not responding to it? And I believe that's because Lord Jesus Christ knew about the future. Now, there's a film out there which some of you may have seen called Big Fish, and the main character in that movie, when he's a child, what's revealed to him is the way that he's going to die. He knows how he's going to die, and so all the way through his life, every time he approaches a dangerous situation where he could come to serious harm, he goes straight into that situation. Not because he's fearless, but because he knows that that moment isn't going to kill him, because he knows the moment when he's going to die. So Jesus does know something that the disciples don't know. He knows that he's not destined to die on a fishing boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. He knows that he's destined to have the most significant death and then resurrection that the world has ever seen. The moment when the Son of God is put to death is going to be a moment of historical significance for the whole of the globe. So he knows that the story is going to go on. Even if we have to go through a storm, the story is still going to have that ending and eventually a glorious ending when he is resurrected. So Jesus himself has faith in the future. Now, there's a portion of scripture which I think sort of reflects how that affects us and impacts us. And it's when Jesus is unfolding what it's going to be like to live as a Christian through the next period of time that's coming after his death, his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. And this is part of what the disciples experienced. He says, he's talking about their persecutions. You will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. Did you notice the apparent contradiction in that passage? They will put some of you to death, and presumably others of you will be beaten, will be tortured, will be put into prison. All those things that happen to God's faithful disciples, and they've been happening for 2,000 years, and they're still happening today. He says, not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. Jesus Christ and our Lord Heavenly Father never promises that we won't go through trials. In fact, he promises that we will. But what he does say is that at the end of that trial, not a hair of your head will perish. Jesus knew his future in that boat. And actually, we know our future as well. We don't know every circumstance and every trial, every difficulty, every joy and sorrow we're going to face. But we do know that at that moment, when we pass over from life to death, we know that the future for us is glorious and wonderful. Jesus says, not a hair of your head will perish. So the question is, can you trust Jesus with your future? Can you trust him enough to go through that storm, knowing that your faith will not fail, your faith will not crack? Do you have enough faith in the power and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that he will be able to carry you through, even to the point of death, even to the point of perhaps losing your job, even to the point of a bereavement in your family or a loved one? Do you have faith that Jesus will get you through it, that he will help you to endure and eventually bring you through to the other side, where there will be no more suffering, where there will be no more tears? When you know the end of the story, you can go through every single trial there is in it. Now, our lives are not Hollywood movies, but the illustration is obvious, isn't it? Particularly when you sit down to a Disney movie. Anytime there's any jeopardy in it, you know it's all going to be all right in the end. That's why Jesus could be so calm on that boat. And it's partly why he's rebuking his apostles. Because they didn't have faith that Jesus was in their future with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, can you trust Jesus with your future? It's a passage in scripture which I think just summarizes all of this for me. And it's in Isaiah 26 verse 3. I'm sure it's familiar to a great deal of you. You will keep him in perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. There has been a real lack of peace for our minds. I think the greatest trial of this lockdown, this COVID-19 crisis, has been the attack on our mental stability and our emotions, as our routines have been taken out from under us, as uncertainty and instability prevails. It has been really, really difficult. But we have a Father in heaven, and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit giving us power to trust in Him. And as we trust in Him, we will be kept in perfect peace. So, take that rebuke of Jesus. Why are you afraid? Have faith in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And have faith in your future with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord God, we thank you for being with us in our worship this morning. We thank you for the truths about you that we've been reminded of. We thank you for the word that we've heard. And we ask that you would help us to remember, to retain and to act on what you've said to us today. We remember that you aren't a part-time God, Lord, but that you are with us and you're working every day of the week, not only on a Sunday. And so I ask that we would all be equipped to serve and to love you wholeheartedly as we go into a new week. You would equip us to deal with every situation that we are faced with in the way that you would have us do. Help us to live in the way that you want and to go in your strength. Pray that you'd fill us with your joy and your peace, and that we'd be aware of your presence now and in everything that we do. Thank you again for being with us. Thank you for this special time together. And I ask that you would help us to continue in the same spirit of fellowship and love of you as we go forward from here. Amen.
Thank you.
wasn't it lovely to hear God's word brought to us through Mark this morning? How do you feel today? Of course, there are all sorts of ranges of feelings, but we know whatever circumstances we are in, God is with us. And so I want to give you this blessing, a reminder of God's love for us in every single circumstance, in every single heart disappointment or failure or disillusionment or discouragement, because we have this certain hope within us from God's word. Listen what it says. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Who shall then separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, listen to those words, Paul says to us as Christians, for I am convinced, only twice he uses this word, I am convinced that neither death, including corona, nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May this word remain into your hearts as you walk with him this week, during this holiday season in August. May God bless you, keep you, and protect you, knowing full well that nothing will ever separate us from his love. Amen.